We are joined in studio by the Chief of Police of Dallas, Daniel Como. Chief, what is up?
Man, I like the hand clap. I like the hand clap.
There you go.
I don't always get hand claps.
How you doing, man?
Man, I'm blessed, brother. I'm blessed.
First off, it is a pleasure to meet you, man. How long have you been on the job here as chief in Dallas?
About 15 months. I think that equals about 5-6 years.
It feels like it. Yeah, yeah. It feels like that's the case. And you came from Houston, right?
Yes, I did.
So let me give you the first overlaying question of how has it gone the first 15 months here in Dallas for you?
I'm truly enjoying Dallas. I have to say I'm truly enjoying Dallas.
Good, good. So we've been talking off the off the air about a ton of things while you've been in studio. And my partner had a whole bunch of questions. I wanted those questions on the air, not off the air, man.
All of them.
Yeah, all of them. Let's talk about it.
I don't think I should ask some of them on the air.
But we always, and I always wonder, as far as being the chief and you're around and you're very visible, and you're out, and a lot of people want to talk to you and talk to you about how things are going, about policing in Dallas. And I guess I want to ask, is it kind of half and half? Is it mainly positive? Is it some negative? How do people approach you, and are you open to that? Is that, like you say, a requirement for the job?
Look, I don't mind the approach. I love talking to people. And one of the things, that as a police department, we should talk. And we should talk to the community because we need to understand what the community needs and wants. One thing about being a police chief in Dallas, which is really great, Dallas wants the police department to do their job and to be here and to keep everyone safe. So when you say a percentage, I would say 95% of the people that approach me, it's in positive light. And then maybe 3% have many suggestions about how we can get better. And then maybe that 1 or 2% probably don't want to see you around. But almost, it's so positive about wanting us to do our jobs and be productive. Dallas is a great place to be a police officer.
What made you, because before this you were, which sounds really kick-ass, you were a special agent in charge of the DEA down in Houston. What made you want to get back into policing and to run a police department as big as Dallas's?
So one of my goals was when it was time for me to leave DEA, I wanted to be a major city police chief. And there was a lot of doubters, didn't think I can make the jump from the federal to the local side. I believed in myself that I can do it. It's what I wanted to do. And I felt like being a local cop in the beginning in the Houston Police Department, I did 6 years there, then 28 years with DEA. I felt like it prepared me because I moved around so much with DEA and saw policing in so many areas throughout the United States. I felt like I was uniquely qualified to stick the landing on this job, and I'll tell you what, I'm having a blast.
So is that the goal when you first start being a police officer? Is it to rise the ranks as far as being chief? Like, I guess if I'm looking at all the other police officers out there and what the ultimate goal is, some would say, I just want to retire, you know, just do the job or whatever. When did you realize that maybe this was a goal for you to be a chief instead of just staying a police officer?
That's a really good question. I think it's leadership starts at an early age. And I started picking up leadership qualities at 8 years old. And I have a book that's coming out next month, and it talks about leadership and where I started picking up leadership from. And it was at the playground baseball field when I was 8 years old. I didn't realize I was picking up leadership at that moment, but playing sports helps develop leaders. And you start picking up leadership skills playing sports. Now, for me, when I first became an officer, all I wanted to do was work. Never thought about leadership. And I think as the time continued on, what was instilled at me probably from the age of 8 from playing sports started to come and rise inside of me in law enforcement. And it was, what's next? Stick the landing on what's next. And then what's next? What's next? And what's following that? And that was leadership.
We are chatting with the Chief of Police for Dallas here, Daniel Como, joining us on the show. What did you see, and perhaps it's still the same answer as it would be now a little over a year into this, but what did you see was the biggest issue facing Dallas in terms of what you can do from a police officer standpoint?
Well, it's a couple things. When I came in, the city manager told me immediately, you have to recruit. You have to be able to recruit officers to the city of Dallas. And I took on that challenge. And one of the things we're doing right now, we have more officers in Dallas this year than we have had over the last 12 years. Our recruiting is, it's off the chain right now. We're doing a phenomenal job of recruiting. We're one of the only major cities in the United States that's recruiting at the level that we are. People want to move to Dallas. People want to be a Dallas officer. So that was one of the challenges that was laid out, and we're sticking the landing on that right now. And the other one was to improve response times. And one of the things that I believe from my leadership style is I empower my command staff to make decisions. I empower the police department all the way down to the officers level to make decisions, to bring suggestions up to us in the command staff level to make the department better. And I'm happy to say over the last 14 months, our response times have gone down every single month. So those were two of the most important things that was put on my plate. And we're sticking a landing on that right now.
So how do you improve that recruitment? Is it just going out and is it job fairs? Is it just knowing and making the city more appealing? How do you make sure that you can have enough people who want to be police officers?
Look, one of the things that you have to do, you need to be laser focused in the right areas on who want to become police officers. Like you said, going to a job fair. Look, we can send people to 100 job fairs and just sit at a table and hand out flyers. Or, hey, why don't we look to see who are officers on the job already? Where did they come from? Let's talk about females. We have a lot of female officers that's on the job, and their past history were athletic and cheerleaders. So why don't we be laser focused and recruit in the cheerleading area and the sports area for females? Look to see who's already on the job and figure out how to move forward with that. Let's say in the black community, we have a lot of D9 officers. So let's focus on the D9 rather than just sitting at a table passing out flyers to anyone. So we're doing more of a laser focus approach on recruiting. And then also I hired someone with expertise on recruiting. So rather than have an officer sitting there as your lead recruiter as over HR, we hired a non-sworn with that experience to make us better.
So I'm kind of curious for you personally, having done this for so long, the chief of police, is it more you're handling and putting out a lot of fires and dealing with a lot of the bigger problems? Or do you still from time to time go out and ride along with somebody, or how does that work? I mean, I would imagine you haven't pulled over somebody for a traffic stop in many
years. Do you have the light in your car that you can put on top of your car as you're driving down the street?
Well, look, some of the things I shouldn't talk about because I have my two guys with me as you were talking to them earlier. And sometimes I'm like, we will not let that happen in front of us. Pull them over. And they're looking at me. Yo, man, you're the chief of police. Right. Like, no, we're not doing that. So look, you still have that energy in you and that fire in you. But there's also reality, and I really don't want to be on the ground tussling and fighting with anyone. So let's not do that. But look, my belief as a chief is about inspiring, motivating, and empowering. And with those three words of leadership, I'm here to guide and get everyone in the police department what they need to be successful.
It's Daniel Como. It's the Dallas Chief of Police in studio with us. Lunchtime with the Invasion as we roll along. We talk about, and you've been here for a couple of segments, and man, your phone has just been buzzing. You pick it up, and I asked you, yeah, it has to be the most active phone in the history of whatever plan that you're on, man. You have to have messages or calls all the stinking time about what's going on here in Dallas.
Well, my phone is hot, but clearly you two are hot too, because my phone started ringing about me coming on this show. So look, we got three hots in here right at the same time.
I'll take that.
Why not? I'll take that too. Yeah,
it's good to know somebody other than my mom's listening.
No, right. Mine too. She'll turn it off sometimes when I get on the nerves. Yeah, I'm born and raised, man. Dallas, South Oak Cliff, man. My parents still live in the same house I grew up in. And it's a trip because when we're growing up, it's not a disdain for the police, but you know how it goes sometimes. And with the music out and the hood that you're growing up in, you can have some of those issues. And I know some of those issues are still around. How can we get, you know, everybody kind of on one accord to have a little more trust in what's going on? Because I feel like there are going to be some people that you just can't change their minds. But the people that are kind of on the fence, how do you go about trying to make sure that everyone is trusting of what's going on here in Dallas?
So there's two parts to that. One, I want to talk about what I want my legacy to be as the Dallas chief.
Okay.
I just want to be known as the most trustworthy police chief that Dallas has ever had. He's going to give you the truth. whether it's right or wrong, whether it makes us look good or bad,
right,
he's going to give you the truth. That's important to me. And I think a lot of it starts for the community there. You can come in, you know, with a tie. I don't wear a tie often. And I can come in with a written script, which I don't do often. My goal is just to tell you what's happening in the truth. And I want us to be known that way as the Dallas Police Department, right? And then the second part to that is one thing that we will not go away from. Dallas and most major cities have gone away because the recruiting is an issue right now in law enforcement, is we're going to have our NPO officers, our neighborhood policing officers, we're going to have them out in the communities. We want to establish relationships with communities. We need the communities to feel like they can come to the office at any time to have a discussion. And if we have those open lanes of communication to discuss, we're going to build that trust with the community. And that's so important to me.
How do you manage some of the areas around the city of Dallas, of course, is what we're talking about, and that tend to be, we were talking about this a little bit earlier, Deep Ellum, for instance, which has at one time kind of faded away, then came back, and then it feels like there's little pockets like that that are around town where people are like, man, I don't know, it feels like there's a little bit more going on there, I don't feel as safe there. What do you do as chief to try and combat that and to make those areas safer?
Look, it's a lot of things which you do before that night event happens, right? So throughout Dallas right now, I'll tell you one of the things that we've been doing for 15 months. We're running operations in jointly with the United States Marshal Service. If you have a felony warrant, we're looking for you every single day. So if you're walking the streets of Dallas, we're looking for you if you have a felony warrant. We've arrested over 1,400 individuals over the last year plus a few months that have had felony warrants. And it says, why is that important? When we start taking those individuals off the street that shouldn't be on the street because they have a felony warrant, it makes the street safer. So then you look at an area like Deep Ellum, you have less individuals that's more likely to cause crime in that area. When you start mixing alcohol and bars together and people together, you have some issues. So we want to take care of some things on the front end to try to protect those areas.
So as you first got into law enforcement, and you talked about your leadership skills at 8 and realizing, man, this is something that I can do and I want to do. Did you think the job and the responsibility would be what it is now that you're in it? Is it kind of surprising you a bit that there's some responsibilities that you have that you didn't expect as you were working your way towards this moment?
Yes. I'm not a politician, nor do I want to be a politician. So the good and the bad that comes with me, if you ask me a question, I'm going to give you an answer. And I'm going to try to give you the very truthful answer, a truthful answer immediately. I'm not going to sit down and think about, well, how should I say this to make this person happy or this person happy? Look, I'm just going to say it, and then we're going to deal with it from there. So one of the things that I didn't see coming was, hey, this group of people would prefer you to say it this way. This group of people would rather you say it this way. And this group of people would rather you not say anything at all because this happened. No, I just want to say it. And that's what I'm going to continue to do. I'm just going to say it. I know I'm an acquired taste, and hopefully Dallas is starting to take this acquired taste in, but I just want to be truthful and honest with you.
It is 12:08. Lunchtime with the Invasion is rolling along. We are joined in studio by the Chief of Police, Daniel Como. We come back, we kind of get to know the man. We've talked about the job and the city. Let's get to know the man. We'll do it next here on The Ticket.
12:15, it is lunchtime here with the Invasion. Donovan Lewis, Matt McLaren. As we continue in studio, we have the Dallas Chief of Police, Daniel Como, hanging out, talking about all things policing. And we do need to get into your love of not the Cowboys, which we are learning about you, and pull back the curtain a little bit here to let them know that we need his mic on so he can talk. Very nice. And there it is. Yay. So, you are a Saints fan.
Who that? Who that nation?
Which I think is fine because, man, if you had said Eagles, I'd be like, there is no way this dude can be chief of police in Dallas.
Just wouldn't be able to handle it. Right?
You can't have an Eagles fan trying to police you in Dallas. We'd never trust you.
Look, I'm not a Cowboy hater, but I'm who that for life.
Which is, that's fine. So I can accept this.
Where are you from?
Born in Lafayette, raised in New Orleans.
Okay. And when did you get to Texas? Oh, well, you know what? Let's not even go there just yet. So you born in Lafayette, raised in New Orleans. what was the career aspirations as far as you growing up? I know I had several different things I wanted to be when I was growing up. Before we were chief of police, what do you want to do?
So coming out of New Orleans, the only thing I wanted to do was play baseball. I left New Orleans. I played 2 years of junior college baseball at Forest Park in St. Louis, Missouri. And then I signed with Southwest Texas and played at Southwest Texas for a year before injuring, then deciding what am I going to do. And one of my teammates' father was a Houston police officer. He bought me an application. Age of 21, I started the Houston PD Academy.
So we have that in common because I went to school at Southwest Texas.
Ah, see, I knew it was something good about you. I was trying to figure it out.
Yeah. So I'm a Bobcat.
Floating around there, floating around the room.
I floated a little
throw
bit.
Throw it up there. You know, it took me forever to learn how to do this right there. Look, that symbol, there it is. There's the symbol. Throw it up. Yeah.
There you go.
So I swung a baseball bat at for the Bobcats.
So you.
What position?
Center field.
Okay, I could see that. I can actually see you being the center field or patrolling the outfield out
there.
Yes,
sir.
All right.
Yeah, down there in beautiful San Marcos.
It is a nice place.
It is. Gorgeous. So what made you go from being in the police department down there originally when you're coming up from Houston to want to get into the DEA? And you said 28 years of a career with the DEA.
Well, it was simple. They made more money than we did. I mean,
right, fair enough.
Look, let's keep it real, right? They made more money than we did at the time, and that was attractive to me. And I was like, hey, I can do some long-term investigation, put the worst of the worst in jail. Let's do it.
Did you ever run into situations like a Breaking Bad, like that type of crazy drug dealer and things of that nature that you're dealing with?
Look, I claim the fame as I supervised a group that we went after the worst of the worst and the biggest and baddest drug cartel leader in Mexico, El Mencho, Ruben Cervantes, and we were the first group to ever indict him. So very proud of that moment.
Really?
That the Gulfport resident office accomplished. Very, very proud moment.
So we do have and this is Daniel Como, the chief of police of Dallas. And I'm going to speak for my partner here. We have a hate relationship with Houston. It's just nothing about it that we like. But I feel the same way here about Houston and Dallas also. All so right. it just goes both ways. So what has been the the transition of from Houston moving to Dallas? Have you enjoyed your time here already in Dallas? Not just job wise, just moving here and becoming a part of the city after being in Houston for so long.
I have, man. This city has embraced me. I've embraced the city. I'm really, really enjoying it. I have better hair days here. Not as much humidity. That's supposed to be funny.
I got you. I have better hair days. It's a long time ago, though.
No, but look, I'm truly enjoying Dallas.
Thank you, Jay.
Really enjoying it. It's different. It's definitely a different type of city than Houston, but it's a different that's good. And the fact that I live in the city makes me enjoy it even more because it's easy to get around. And what everyone calls traffic here, it's not really traffic.
Oh.
after living in L.A., Houston, and D.C., this is not bad at all for a major city, right?
Man.
I know people who
this
live in Dallas.
This is all we know. It's terrible.
You
buzz.
Live in Dallas.
I live in Dallas.
See, that's why, because, man, I live in Denton County, and coming down here, there are days where I'm just like, what am I doing?
You know, there's available property in Dallas. I'm just saying, you're probably safer in Dallas, too. Because the Dallas Police Department has been reducing crime like no other department. So you're probably safer in Dallas. Maybe you should, let's talk offline. I can give you some addresses of houses for sale.
Love it. So
plus, I'll be safer. It's a personal guarantee from
the
chief.
I know. You know him now. So we're definitely safer.
I gave me a little wiggle room, though. I just said we're safer.
Okay, that's fair.
So we have the phone that's in the corner. We're not doing that. You're not in uniform. What do you like to do when you're just chilling? You're just having a day to yourself. What was that? What would that day consist of?
Since I've become the chief?
Sure.
Man, it's sitting down trying to close my eyes.
Okay. Rest,
but,
right?
But look, I love live music. So that's one of the things I really enjoy. And I guess being from New Orleans, we're a music city. So I love popping up into spots here in Dallas where some live music is going on. So if you have live music going on, I can pop up any moment.
What's the genre of choice?
Old school R&B. That's
Man
after
my
right
own
there.
Heart. There we go. See, that's
there you
go. I knew it was something good about him.
Yeah, we've got all sorts of things in common. This is great. So is this one of those, I imagine, you say trying to get some rest, close your eyes, whatever it is this, I assume, okay, there's a traffic stop. We don't have to call the chief, but there has to be things that are happening every day. Do you have to get involved in some of the lower level stuff? Like, I mean, you watch the movies and you watch TV, you're like, oh no, we got to call the chief on this one. I mean,
and everyone always hesitates to call the chief.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a good. Well, look, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's a fair question, but part of my leadership style is for some of those things never to reach my desk because we have so many talented command staff members and talented officers where most of those scenarios should never reach my desk. They should be able to make those decisions on their own without it reaching my desk. And that's one of the things that we've been accomplishing over the last 15 months for them and us as a team to understand what needs to come to my desk and what they should be able to handle on their own. And that's what's making the police department better.
Yeah, because I do feel, I guess we are spoiled by watching a lot of television, that if you get involved, then things have gone horribly wrong. And that if you have to, I don't want to say put your nose in it, but if you have to get involved with it, then it probably hasn't gone the way that it should have. And I don't know if everyone would approach you as far, you've come across as a really nice guy, but I wonder if the people who are working for you say, man, I don't want to talk to the chief. Come on, man.
Well, nobody wants to go to the principal's office.
Right. Okay.
Nobody wants to go to the principal's office.
Unless he's walking around like giving out lollipops or something. Yeah,
and then it's small talk, you know, and it's like, oh boy, is he going to tell me something?
So I'm kind of curious about this, and I don't know, again, I have all these weird police questions, I think, but the city of Dallas, because there, as you know now, there's weird little pockets of it, like the one that kind of goes up into Carrollton, up there off the tollway, where it's like a little small sliver of Dallas. How much collaboration do you have to be in with the surrounding suburbs that have their own police departments to help you accomplish some of the things that you want to do that might be a little bit more on the outskirts, but are still Dallas?
Yeah. So what's good for everyone in the DFW area is that all of the chiefs in the area, we meet on a regular basis. We talk on a regular basis, and I have almost every single one of the chief's phone numbers in my phone. So we talk on a regular to make sure that the whole entire DFW is safe. So we collaborate. And one of the things coming from the federal government, collaboration was the key. You couldn't survive in the federal government without collaborating with your state and local partners. So I did bring that to the table where Dallas PD was going to collaborate every single day with every single department in the area.
So is that,
No, I was going to ask, curious. Is that you being the point man for that? Or is it, like, are you checking in? Or are they checking in with you?
Well, we talk to each other.
Okay.
If I need something or they need something, they know they can call me at any time. Any chief in the area can call me at any time, and I know I can call them at any time. And we have a regular meeting all the time. So
is this one of those things where, say there's a car chase, whatever there happens to be, and you're in Dallas, but then it's zipping up the tollway and it gets up into Frisco or whatever it is. Do you continue pursuit or do you have to call Frisco like, hey, we're coming up on you. You guys need to be ready to jump in on this.
Just say we're going to work as a team to make sure the bad people go to jail.
All right. Fair enough. That's a good answer. I always wonder that because you always hear, oh, they can't pull me over. They don't have jurisdiction here.
Try me.
Yeah, I felt like that was way more Dukes of Hazzard than anything else.
Well, you know how it is. Like, you'll be driving on the interstate somewhere, and everybody slows down because a police car will pull on the interstate or a highway or whatever, and they're like, oh, that's a Louisville. I'm in Denton.
Yeah, try.
You know what I mean?
North Texas, we work together too close to, right. to let the bad guy get away.
No, I have been.
I knew it.
I've done that before. Grand Prairie? I'm right. Not in Grand Prairie. I'm just so right by him. That's great.
Like, stop signs don't apply to me now.
It's Daniel Como, the chief of police for the city of Dallas, here in studio with this Lunchtime with the Invasion. We roll along. So I know this is going to be probably an overview question, but, and you're only 15 months into the job, but, and no disrespect to the people that were here before you, but what is the ultimate goal as far as your tenure as chief that when you come in, you have, this is what I want to accomplish as far as my tenure to be known as, all right, someone who really, truly made a difference for the city?
So one of the things, it's going to go back to those 2 points we talked about earlier. When I was recruiting, we will have, before I leave, I'm going to make sure before I leave, the Dallas Police Department will have more officers than they've ever had before in the history of Dallas. That's one of the things. And if I can't accomplish that, I won't look at my tenure here as successful. We want to continue to keep crime going down. That's easy. One of the other issues, and this is one where we need all your listeners to really listen up. One of the biggest complaints that I get, no matter where I go, no matter what zip code I'm in, is that the Dallas Police Department does not write enough tickets on traffic. One of the biggest complaints. We are going to write more and more tickets.
Who's complaining about that?
I'm telling you, it's a big complaint.
I think it's great.
So we're going to write more and more tickets.
You need to give them a ticket for saying something crazy like that.
Yes, and he's what he's talking about is mainly if you're driving slow in the left lane, that's what they're looking for. They're going to start ticketing you more.
Okay. No, look, it's one of the things that we have to keep, we have to obey traffic laws. Yeah. And one of the things that you see in Dallas is too many accidents. Too many people running red lights and stop signs. That's a problem. So we're going to build up our traffic unit.
Okay.
To make sure that we take care of everyone.
If you guys want to start writing a lot of tickets, so there's a spot right down here at Continental coming off of 35. And, man, every morning I just sit there at the light and wait because every morning there's two or three people. And if you went when that other light turned green, it's like a guaranteed wreck. But yeah. I know that, so I just wait. It's really weird.
Well, and you shouldn't have to, right?
Right, but I mean, it's just like, I mean, who's next?
We don't want anyone from the tickets or the ticket listeners to get
right,
tickets.
Exactly.
Right? You see how that works? That.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, we really, truly appreciate the time. And I know you're going to have a conflict of interest on the 28th of August as the New Orleans Saints roll into town to play the third preseason game against the Cowboys. I don't know exactly what you're going to do.
Well, one of the things I want to do is come back on the show. So I'm putting you on the spot right now. We're going to come back on the show. We're going to talk Saints Cowboys football. Okay. How about that?
All right. We will accept that.
That is marked down.
Book it down.
Man, we can't thank you enough for taking the time to come in studio and joining us here on the show today. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you all very much. I enjoyed it.
All right. Daniel Como. And Matt was asking about one of those get out of jail free Monopoly cards. He's been asking about that since we said we were going to have you on the show. But
hook up with me. Let me get your number. But I might not answer after 12.
Daniel Como, the chief of police here in Dallas, in studio with us. Can't thank him enough for it.